Tim Versalotti is director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, one of the best in the business. And now I want to ask you about Joe Biden. Joe who? You know, I mean, here was this guy. He's still leading in all the polls among the Democrats, yet he's not in it. Now, as a pollster, can you tell me something? Is it likely that if he gets in it, his numbers will go down?
It is possible, for sure. These early polls in part reflect name recognition and sort of general good feeling or bad feeling, depending, about the candidate. And among the Democrats likely to vote in primaries next year, Joe Biden is a nostalgic figure, a reminder of the Obama administration, when the Democrats were in power, when Democrats felt that important things got done, like the Affordable Care Act. So there's a lot of fondness for Joe Biden and a lot of good memories about that time, although it's not that long ago. It seems very long ago right now. That's when you are outside the fray. Once you get in, once you hit the campaign trail, things can change. And we've seen some of that already in terms of these allegations that have come up of unwanted touching by Biden, of insensitivity to women in that regard, even going back to statements he has made in the past when he was a senator, not just about women in particular, but about race and race relations as well. You can expect a lot more of that if he gets in the race.
Well, now, Hillary, Tim Versalotti, Hillary did quite well with the African-American vote, I believe. So is Biden the natural inheritor of Hillary's popularity in that sphere?
It's hard to tell. If you look at the race and the contenders in the race right now, Kamala Harris would have a direct link to African-American voters, are a critical part of her coalition in California. Cory Booker has been doing a fair amount of outreach to African-American voters as well. Watch whose campaign itineraries take them through the South, South Carolina in particular, the earliest Southern primary. And they're the folks who are doing the most outreach, the most focus on African-Americans. So I would not assign them to any particular candidate right now.
What do we expect that is going to happen? Obviously, there are so many Democrats in this. There's got to be some winnowing out, right? So you got Klobuchar and Gillibrand and Booker and Harris and Buttigieg and Beto and Gabbard and Castro. What happens now?
Well, the winnowing may begin with the first debates. So there are two nights of debates scheduled in Miami in late June, two nights of debates scheduled in Detroit in late July. The DNC has set one of two criteria for qualifying. You either have to have 1% support in three separate polls, and as we see who's qualifying right now, that may not be that high a bar. Tulsi Gabbard, a congresswoman from Hawaii, has qualified. And the other criteria is fundraising. You need at least 65,000 unique donors and a minimum of 200 donors per state in at least 20 states. And again, candidates are qualifying on that score as well. So it's conceivable of the, I think the estimate is now, 18 candidates in the race. Many of them could qualify. They'd be on TV in two consecutive nights. The qualifiers would be chosen at random. There wouldn't be a main event and an undercard as there were in the Republican primaries.
The so-called children's table.
Yep. Because again, the party, the DNC, is still recovering from the arguments from the Bernie Sanders supporters that it had its thumb on the scale for Hillary Clinton in 2016. They want to make sure everybody feels like they're being treated fairly. So these two nights of debates The assignments would be random, so you'd have a mix of front runners and people who are pretty far back.
Okay, so Tim Versalotti, I wanted to ask you about the so-called circular firing squad. The Democrats are going to screw this up. If I know my Democrats, and I don't mean that they belong to me, but or that I belong to them, but if I know them, they're going to screw it up. So you have this thing going now with Representative Ilhan Omar. There is a sense that they are killing each other.
The Democrats are a party of identity politics, and it is also a big tent, a broad church. And there is no getting away from that. The 2018 midterms ushered in a very diverse class of representatives to the House, diverse ideologically, diverse in terms of race, and a significant increase in the number of women Democrats in the House. And keeping them all together, keeping them all on the same page is a real challenge. Nancy Pelosi has come in for some criticism of that, not coming to the defense of the more progressive women in the party as quickly as some would like, not being keen to endorse impeachment proceedings against President Trump. But Pelosi's been at this rodeo for a long time, and she sees her caucus. It includes a number of newcomers who flipped pretty moderate seats in the Midwest. And so she's trying to keep rein on the party and keep it together. Not an easy task, and we've been seeing that lately.
And when she was challenged on it, she said, well, about the progressives, she said, well, there are only five of them.
Yeah. Sometimes Speaker Pelosi shows a bit of tone deafness in that regard as well. It is clear that there is a generational push to move the leadership, and she won't be serving much beyond not this session, but the next session. After that, she says she's going. But it does illustrate the challenge that even a seasoned politician like Nancy Pelosi is facing right now.
Okay, the president of the United States has put his dime on betting on the immigration policy carrying him to victory. You're the pollster. Tell me, does this really have resonance?
It has resonance with his base, but it's hard to see that it has resonance beyond that. There are powerful images that have emerged on this issue. The family separation policy deeply troubles the country. It's very unpopular when you look at poll data. And images of crying children being separated from their parents or being surrounded by authority figures in uniforms, those images have resonated with Americans. And beyond the president's base, there aren't a lot of people who like this idea or like this set of policies. And we've seen more recently with a general change of command at Homeland Security, at ICE. Well, actually, at ICE, the president withdrew a nominee to head ICE because he felt that individual was not going to be hardline enough. And then the resignation of the head of the Secret Service. We're seeing a lot of churn from individuals, presidential hires, who have been pushing back, who have entertained the suggestions of the president and then said, yeah, well, we're not doing that.
Okay, now, Stephen Miller, we got 50 seconds, but Stephen Miller is regarded as the boogeyman by many of the Democrats. I'm wondering, does the population know who this guy is?
I don't think they do. I think that's pretty sophisticated knowledge. And I think the elements of the immigration debate that are resonating with the public aren't specific figures like Stephen Miller, but these images, these troubling images for people that they're seeing at the border.
So that's the Congressional Corner for today with Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science extraordinaire, and our friend. Tim, it's always great to hear your words because they make so much sense to me. I have so much respect for you. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you, Alan.